Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
and somehow I'll return.
Hey, everybody, welcome to
Hello.
Video. And hi. Welcome to
How are
discussions
you?
Here on Blog Talk. And good. Welcome to we discussing here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Sweet Pea. Tonight we are going to be talking about paranoia inside of Blog Talk. I am with a group called Room of Voices, sponsored by the AP Poetry Foundation. I'm very excited to be here tonight. I have just lost my studio, so I don't need to get back into it, if you give me a second. Got myself all discombobulated. Love the computer world that I'm in. Let me get back in here, guys. Linda, how are you? I know that's your lovely voice.
I'm good. I was just going to say, don't feel bad. I get discombobulated all the time.
Like, boom, everything just went away. I'm like, okay. I know who
typically
I am.
Typically normal.
Not usually for me. I'm just like, oh, no, what happened? Where'd everybody go? I'm looking up there, and there's nobody there. I'm like, yeah, okay. That's not good. So, yeah, I've been enjoying my lovely little series. For me too. Not
so how have you been doing, my darling?
I've been doing okay. Running my world.
It's good to see you here tonight, or hear you here tonight.
Yeah. So I've got you, and I believe I have Rack and Tor. Is that you, Rack?
None other,
my beautiful Rack. I got Rack and Tor here in the studio with me. So, yes. Oh, my goodness.
I followed you home.
Were
you
following
me?
Thank you. Follow me home. I appreciate that a great deal. All right. Here we go here. Get my topic board open. All right. Here. All right. So, I've got to thank Pee Wee because he sent me so many different songs. Like, lyrics from this song and lyrics from this song. And so he definitely was very excited about this, like, weeks ago when I first started talking about this subject. And the other one is Rack. He's always sending me, what about this, what about this, what about that. So it was a lot of fun there.
Paranoia.
Definitely. Yeah, we're all a little paranoid. I know I am. I'm always a little paranoid. I have always been a little paranoid. Just the way it is.
I kind of figured if it was on
though.
Paranoia, Rack would be here.
Yeah, he is.
What is it they say? Is it paranoia if they really are after you?
Right.
That's not paranoia if they are after you. I like that.
That's right.
Who are you talking about? I've always said it's not narcissism if it's true. I can't be egotistical if I am better than you. I guess maybe it's the same for paranoia. But my mother told me that was rude, so I stopped doing it. So how's everybody's weather? I'm just full of storms and all kinds of craziness, and hopefully we make it through this storm or this night without another big power outage and all of that. So I'm really hoping that stuff go away. Yeah, we've had bad storms. We've got dogs that are freaking out on me and all that kind of stuff.
I live in Alaska, so it just goes to say it's cold.
It goes to say it's cold. It's not cold. It's not warm.
It's just chilling.
It has warmed up, though. It's like it got up to 47 yesterday, I think, which was a cold heat wave. Yeah.
And that's like almost the perfect temperature is 47. I like that.
Yeah. But it got real windy, so it was probably colder than that.
Oh, yeah. I like windy. I just don't like wind, rain, and hail.
Yeah. But all the snow's melted away, so that's a good advantage.
Oh, is it? Is it good when the snow melts away in Alaska? Like global warming?
Yeah, we can see the grass, and it's starting to turn green, and our cranes are back digging on the corn, cracked corn that we put down for them. So it's spring.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if that was good or bad. I didn't know if that, like, if the snow melted in Alaska, if that was like a sign of global warming, and, you know.
It happens every once in a while. The snow melts in Alaska.
Okay,
at least where I'm at.
Well,
that just means spring's coming on.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good to know. I need to prepare for rants from Al Gore. They hurt my head. Oh. So I don't know if you guys, I put a picture up earlier, and Pee-wee got it, but I thought that was the coolest little, I'm going to haunt you in a bookstore. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at that picture in the studio, but that was pretty cool.
I've been staring at it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're blind. I'm so stupid when it comes to you sometimes.
That's okay. I pretend to be normal. You think of me as normal.
Yeah, I know. You think of me as normal, and that's a big mistake. But, Linda, if you look at the cover of the book stacked up next to the book on sale, you'll see the titles are...
Okay, where do I want to go?
In the...
Team of Voices.
Team of Voices board. If you go up a few spaces, you'll see this picture. Okay? You'll see the chat wall, right?
Oh, the eyeball? Is that what I'm looking at?
No. Okay, go right up. Yeah, but go right above the eyeball.
Okay.
And then you'll see... You see the guy on the couch with the eyeball, right? You see the family?
No, I see Skin Game. Oh, I see the family. That's down. Okay.
Okay.
You see the
guy
with the eyeball.
Oh, I see it.
You see the guy. Now go up.
Yeah.
And you see the picture, the eyeball, and then you see the Skin Game, right? Now next to the Skin Game are a stack of books. All right?
Okay.
Now read the titles going down. It says never going to give you up, never going to. There's the message from your stalker.
Oh, how cool.
Isn't that great? I love that. That was my stalker message this morning. So that
very cute.
Thought that was pretty awesome.
And I didn't notice on the picture of the family. Is that you? Is that you, family?
Oh, good God, no. No, that's not my family. I don't generally sit on the head of someone on my couch. No.
Oh.
Darn.
Do you not see the man they're sitting on? Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't generally put somebody in
Okay, I get it. Now, I thought it was like a hamster, but now I see the eyeball.
It's a human being.
I thought that was the hamster's. Yeah. It's always in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. Hi, Pee-wee. There we go. And Jenny's out there. Yes, awesome. Yes, no, I don't usually lay a large man down on my lap and have my family sit on his head, no. We don't usually do that. That's a lot of fun, but maybe we should try that. Everybody lay down on Uncle Jim. This is my brother, which he would probably do. But, yeah, we don't usually do that. We've got, let me check the studio. You know, we're probably going to be okay. We're good because I'm waiting on Wayne to call. So that'll be good. So... You're here with me, Linda, so I don't know how long you have. Do you want me to throw up your poem?
I have some time, but, yeah, sure, if you want to.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I like to listen. I we're good. We can hang out. We can do things. Put this up here.
Uh-oh, let me get back to...
Muted.
Did I
unmuted.
Put it up there?
Crap, I am. I am muted. I'm not muted, and I look down, my phone's muted. Yeah. I'm so glad you got a song called Don't Pee Wee, because
you know, Rack got your
happy.
Tongue?
Rack got my tongue. Rack which Rack does not. I'm sure, you know, if he could, he would. But no rat does. All right. Here we go.
My wildest dreams.
All right. Oh, please. Not Sunday night. All right, everybody, PB is on the board, laid out like a gentleman. And here we go.
Born into a cult, thrown to religious hierarchy, corrupt machine. Conspiracy of the arm of law, police, and agents, seen and unseen. Always recording, receive, reconvene, and deceive with adept ease. Biopsy the disease on your knees in a grove of cipher sanity. Pinholes in a blanket of night consisting of dire plasticine stars. Precariously perched in the woodwork, stealing the essence you are. Timid and meek, turn the other cheek in bleak and surreptitious skies. Whisper fears in deaf ears, in lying fetal position, breathe a sigh. World outside, shifting gears in raven black night for lovely minds. Home of the land on a planet of worlds that reality didn't find. Rabbit hole to a conspiracy sewn up tight in this deranged wonderland. Corridors hiding frozen corpses lost to mankind, head or time sand. Standing at the abutment of the bridge behind gates of sanity. Rising tides of doubt battering the ramparts. Divine disastrous humanity. World grinding gears in onyx night, you're paranoid, gonna end you. Return dark for a lark to find the theft of your mind via schizophrenia.
Oh my God. You know, there's just something between the dark, obituary oldness and the literary, let's make it sound pleasant to our readers, commentary, which of course is all what an obituary is. We want to make sure everybody knows they're dead, but we want to make sure it's present in this writing. That I just, it's damn near orgasmic to me. I don't know if I can say my PG-13 show, but if I can't, it's dead. Anyway, pinholes in blanket of night consisting of dire and that's just one line that's just standing there. Here. Rabbit hole to a conspiracy sewn up tight in its deranged wonderland quarters, hiding frozen corpses lost to mankind, dead or time. Ah, oh, kitty. Just kidding. I'm just freaking kidding. Rising tides of doubt battering the ramparts, divine disaster humanity. World of Grinding Gears and Onyx Knight, your Paranoia, Return Dark for a Lark to Find the Theft of Your Mind, via Chicken. Oh, if only the thief was that easy. Just that easy to die with. But no, no, no. It's for now. No. For now, Lena. No, no, no. I love the way you write. Brilliance is just something that absorbs me. And I don't say that a lot about a lot of writers. I just don't. There's like 84 in my little list of absorbent writers. Pretty Deer, Pretty Bird being one. Because I could sit here and take apart every single word and every single little line and go, well, the conspiracy of the arm of the law, police, and agent, even ancient. The law man in black. Men in black. Are there men in black? Why do we have men in black? Is that a story? Is that a script? Where do I go with that? Because sometimes, you know, art mimics life, or is life mimicking art, or does someone in life want to know that it's art? Is it art, or is someone up there says maybe they should know? Like the Black Dahlia. Where did somebody, how we actually know about that? So they wrote a script to give a screen? I often wonder about that too. Weird like that. Like, do you know in Las Vegas, the wall where the massacre for the Valentine's Day massacre, that wall is actually in a museum? Why is that wall in a museum? You don't understand why that wall is still, like, it's actually in a museum. Brick by brick, they put it together and they put it in a museum. Why? No, I still can't comprehend it. That's besides the point. But it makes me paranoid. And you pulled me onto that wall for what reason? Is DNA in it? Is something in it? Is there some kind of, somebody wants somebody's DNA, hoping they can be reincarnated? Don't know. Whispered spears and deaf ear and lying fetal position through the stuff. I like that line a lot. That line has things that make me think of other things, and I go into like other, like another complete poetry line that fetal position breathing aside, and fears of deaf ears, my enemies speak to me and wish. But that's another thing that I can't do to, because that takes me up there. But I shall shut up my little face now. And I will answer the phone. It's hello, Sky. Hello, Sky.
How are you?
I'm molesting a poem for my own enjoyment.
You're what?
I said I'm molesting a poem for my own enjoyment.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. There's that.
Just saying.
Hi, Sky.
Hi.
I'm going to let Linda talk now about this, more of the poem by P.D. Who.
Oh, I thought it was cool. Pee Wee's stuff is always so intense and just really into the subject that we're talking about. And he captured the essence of paranoia with complete strength and utter reality here. Paranoia is nothing to laugh at, because I have seen it firsthand in my poem that I'm going to read later. Of just utter insanity, that it makes your brain think of things that are, I mean, I could see where somebody could say there's somebody behind that curtain, you know, but when somebody says there's somebody in the toilet tank, okay, that's paranoia that is, I mean, it's 100% pure and utter, the reality and essence of the word. And Pee Wee's done such a good job here. I like so many lines in this. It's just outrageous. World outside, shifting gears in Raven Black Night for lovely minds. Home at the of the land on the planet of worlds that reality didn't find. What a great, great line that is. And the way he describes paranoia here is not in the typical sense, but in a real, like a surreal sense of the word. He's very enchanting in his writing, and I just really love it. But this is an amazing, amazing poem that I think he came up with, but all of his stuff is amazing. There's just, oh my God, so many good parts here. I can't stand it. And I love the title, Religion or Paranoia, Schizophrenia. And I could see how some religious cults can create a paranoia, schizophrenic. I mean, Jim Jones, you know, what is it all, what is he saying? You know, he's making people believe things that are in most eyes absurd, but in his eyes, it's a reality. And that's what paranoia pretty much is believing something that's absurd and making it your own reality. But yeah, this is an awesome poem, Pee-wee. Thank you for sharing it.
Rocking tour, your thoughts?
I like the way Pee-wee tells his stories. His use of language is always amazing. He does a fantastic job setting the stage, setting a scene, and, you know, he uses alliteration and other literary devices beautifully. his metaphors, you know, everything was great, and this was no exception. I thought it was a wonderful piece, Pee-wee. You know, I think you might even be, you know, when you hit submit, you might have been a little bit afraid that somebody might even steal it from you. Nice piece.
Yeah, sometimes when I read Pee-wee's work, almost like when I first started reading Titus's work, I get all, like I can't make a comment that makes any sense, but I think it's brilliant. And it like consumes me. I just get so freaking lost in it because it's like every, you just build and build and build and there's like this crescendo. And it's literally consumed. Sky has poems like that. Linda, you've had poems like that. Rack, you've had poems like that. And it's
oh,
really,
yeah.
They're just, and then I got to let that breath out and go, holy hell. Well, thank you for writing this. Thank you. And Sky, now you've had a chance to catch up. What do you think?
I did not have a chance to catch up. I'm sorry. I did not come in.
Oh.
I came in for the end of the poem being read, and I was not able to read it. Sorry. Sure, it was great.
Okay. Sorry. That's okay. That's fine. Speaking of Sky, if you get paranoid about people reading your stuff, it's because of me.
Well, a little bit. I'm going to go on deleting strike.
Okay.
I get paranoid?
You.
What was the question? Do I get paranoid about people reading my stuff?
No, you may get paranoid because people might read some of your stuff, but it's because of me. I'm writing about you because I got a front page pick about a poem I wrote for you.
Oh, okay.
And the poem is the elm tree one I wrote for you, and it's all about Sky this and Sky walks and Sky plays with fairies and Sky plays. Well, that's not right.
Oh, yeah, for my birthday. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So, and I got this comment, well, Sky sounds like an imaginative little girl. Sky sounds like she liked this. And I'm like, no, Sky is an imaginative poet here on AP. You absolutely should read her work. Go to her page. This poem is about Sky. One, in my opinion, the best poem writer on AP. Go to her page.
So those birthday shows always make me a little awkward because I'm like, I don't know why you're writing a poem. But I like ones that are like, sort of like things that I like when people are like, not like saying like stories like that. It's just so much easier just to chew when somebody writes about something that you like and then maybe puts you in a little story. I thought that was really nice. It's much more easier to swallow, I guess, than someone saying, you know, you're so nice. Like, you don't even think of it. Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. It was fun.
I will say, Linda mentioned Jonestown. I actually have a poem about Jonestown, but I don't think
really?
I'll be reading that one. It's a little.
Wait.
Got a few trigger words. I don't think I'm gonna read it, but that was. Oh my gosh! I watched a documentary about, and not to go off, but I watched a documentary about that, and I'm gonna tell you, I was not okay. But yeah, I agree.
Did an entire thesis on Jonestown.
Oh.
Maybe we'll do that show one day. Well, yeah, I did a whole college thing.
I cringe anytime someone says don't drink the Kool-Aid and they just throw it off as a comment. And, I mean,
right,
we're
no.
But when I do cringe a little bit when I hear that. And then I always say to them, I'm like, well, do you know where that comes from? It's actually not Kool-Aid. It's Limeade or Flavor-Aid, right? And I'm like, so this is what happens.
Yeah, don't do that. All right, so we're going to listen to me talk about paranoia. No one listens to me. Isn't that great? And then you guys don't laugh at this because this is for another site that I'm just dipping my toes into. So please be nice.
This is the website. Oh, my God.
No, not a different website, a different group. Please, I'm not going anywhere. You guys can't see. It's a different style of poetry called rhyming, and I don't do that very well.
Yeah.
So this person is going to try to diagnose me, and I think he's crazy. Because there's no way I can't be diagnosed like that because, I'm not crazy. So everybody bear with the silliness, but hopefully you can see I'm not crazy.
I'm just a little unwell.
All right, guys, here we go.
Muted.
I'm not muted. I'm not muted, am I? Don't tell me I'm muted. I just
now you're
figure
not.
Out if I can read this on my own. Okay. There's a darkness in me, by Sweet Pea. There's a darkness in me you think can be seen, diagnosed, dissected, if it's uninfected with psychological disease. Pat yourself on the back, celebrate that PhD swallowed cum that you took every night as you earn the right to. You have a college degree. Take every dollar at the Tea Party tax for your weekly Tulsa bullshit, save the earth's wax, vile dinner guests, everyone slurping with cash, cry poverty as you eat from your silver spoon and shove it up your doctor's pompous, I can lick my own ass as I sit in a room waiting for you to sign the pills that I swallow. So you can pretend to have free will in a world where different means do not amend your pretty white skin. Ha. Huh. Cutting myself is my disease. I'm more chaotic than a tsunami warning or a boring tornado watching a hurricane. Makes me laugh. I giggle at the thought of my blood on your hands. There is darkness in me you did not see. But maybe my name scrawled across gravestone will keep you off your cell phone. the next girl you wish to abandon. That's it. That's my paranoia. No one sees me.
You're not crazy. I love your introspection in something like this, and the fact that you went outside your comfort zone and you made it rhyme, you know that that had to make you at least a little paranoid, which I guess sparked your muse. It sparked your muse, huh?
Well, the thing is a lot of people.
No. A lot of people what?
A lot of people that feel paranoid and that they stay, like, secluded, and they don't believe what people are trying to tell them. Like, they feel like they're invisible, and they feel like that no matter who they talk to, that they're not listening, they don't know anything about them. And it does end up in a lot of suicide. It ends up in a lot of, you know, things that, because, you know, they don't think anybody's listening. They don't think anybody's paying attention to what's going on. And it's such a deadly thing that's going on because we don't really understand it. And I don't think that people in the business that deal with people, there's not enough resources, there's not enough funds, there's not enough of anything. And I just think it's crazy, pardon the pun, of how much really is going on. And we're not aware of how to even deal with it. So I think sometimes we have to pay more attention, regardless of the fear that we have, within ourselves and watching and being a part of that.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's a perception thing, in a sense of, you know, what the other person thinks other people are seeing and hearing and you know, what they're turning that into. But, you know, and again, as far as your poem, I think you capture that idea too in it. I'm assuming Sky would like to comment on it.
I'd love to. Thank you, Rex. This is really interesting, and it's not always easy to try new things. I know that when I tried to dip into the spoken word realm of poetry, it was very different for me. It's a different skin that you got to put on. I think a more honest one, at least the way that I write the spoken word poem. And because I usually, my lines tend to be really lengthy, it was different. It was different for me. So I always appreciate when people are willing to go outside their comfort zone, where they say, I'm going to tackle this. You know, I've mastered what I know, and now I want to learn more. I want to do more. So kudos to you for doing that. This was definitely much quicker pace than I see you write. It was very lyrical, very, I really like the, where was I? Take every dollar, add the tea party pack for your weekly health food bullshit. Save the earth whack, vile dinner quest burping, while slurping, everyone's serving a patch. Like a little bit of a rap there, you got going. I thought this was, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was very different. But very well done. Usually people don't nail things right. It takes a little practice. You definitely nailed it. And the thing about these two, you got to chew them. You got to, like, once you're done reading, it's almost like you got to, like, once somebody performs it, you know, you have to go back because there's so much packed into it that it's, you know, it's like one of those pieces that where you read it, every time you read it, you're going to find something new that you're like, oh, wait a minute. This kind of went right by, because by the time you're done thinking about take every dollar and then you think about that, you're like, oh, what did I just miss now? So it's really cool when poetry can do that and you can kind of see it and really enjoy it. And it has all these little tiny messages throughout, not just one whole metaphor, but several of them, which is pretty cool. And it was very raw, a bit of craft words, but sometimes you gotta have that. You gotta have that kick, right? You gotta have that a little bit of heat in your words, and I appreciate that as well. Really well.
Thank you. I'm going to welcome AP. Hello, AP. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thanks, sweet. How are you?
Good. I'm good. And then I have 662 on the line, and I'm not sure who that is.
Infinite Destruction.
Oh, well, hey. Hello, Infinite Destruction. How are you?
I'm about the best I can be at the moment.
Well, that's the best we all can be. Well, welcome to my show. Good to have you.
Glad to be here.
Good. I don't know what you guys heard. Right now, I just read my little piece, and Rocky's getting comments. So,
yeah, we're just getting comments. AP, if you had a chance to read it, she actually rhymed. Linda was the last one on the line, I think, that heard it. So if you can comment, Linda.
Sure. This is, like, outrageously beautiful. I mean, your rhyming in this is super cool. This first verse, there is a darkness in me you think can be seen, diagnosed, dissected, as if I'm infected with a psychological disease. That is so wonderful. This whole poem is written out in such a cool way. But, you know, some of the smartest people I know are paranoid schizophrenic. And really,
but don't tell them.
My daughter, when she was 5, was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. They did, however, re-diagnose her because I threw such a fit about the diagnosis with a child that young. I said, "How can you do that? She's 5 years old, and you've seen her like 3 times." So they worked a little harder and just came up with bipolar depressive disorder. But I've known paranoid schizophrenics with brains that were so beautifully intelligent that they made me cry, you know, that they were so beautiful but so misunderstood. And it takes these doctors 3 minutes to decide what kind of drug you need to be on to cure that beautiful thing inside you. But as society says, you know, that it's wrong to be a paranoid schizophrenic. We need to fix you. And I get it, you know, but man, some of the most beautiful things I've seen are out of a paranoid schizophrenic. And your poem here just is really well written as far as the paranoia goes. I really think it's kind of free rolling and like I said, the rhyme in this is just out of this world cool. I think you did an excellent job. Thank you for sharing it.
Well, coming from the Queen of Rhyme, I really, really appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, anybody else want to make a comment? Yeah, anybody else before anybody read it, wants to talk about it, anything else like that? Because we all know CP don't rhyme.
I was just going to say, one of my best friends cut herself for years, hasn't cut herself for a couple of years now, probably 18 months, went and cut herself in a place she shouldn't have and was critically in theatre and all sorts of stuff. And I think that scared her a bit. But it's interesting because where she did cut herself on her hands, on her arms, actually, what's healed looks quite remarkable. And I think it looks quite beautiful.
Guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Infinite, do you have a poem? Do you have time to talk? Do you need to read and run? What's your schedule look like?
You say infinite?
That's what you said.
Okay. My bad. I thought you said that, but then I was like, I don't want to be the idiot who speaks up and it wasn't me. So I went until you repeated.
You're the other
not
idiot.
A problem.
I do have a poem that I just wrote. I don't know if you'd want me to read it or not. I don't think it's actually kind of like a horror story, so I don't know if it would much be applicable to paranoia, but could make the audience paranoid about going in the woods.
Well, why don't you send it to me? Well, go over it, because it's got to be PG-13. I am not an R-rated show, unfortunately. It's all about paranoia. Someone watching you, my show's all open to all of that tonight. It doesn't have to be about just paranoia. I'm good, and we don't have to do it right now. I just didn't know what your time frame was tonight. I don't want to make anybody late.
Well,
and then, of course, the next person I ask that.
If you're okay with it, I would like to go ahead and read, but not because I need to dash too soon, but just in case my time gets cut off, you know, I plan to comment at least on a few afterwards, but I'd like to, you know, I guess if that makes sense.
I got one other person that might read to read before you, and that would be AP, because he's in Australia and he's still working. So I got to – AP, your time now.
Well, I did write something for you, sweet, but it's not directly on topic. It is sort of, if that makes any sense. So let me tell you what it's about, and then you can say
– All right.
You can go from there, okay? Do you remember the Radiohead song Paranoid Android?
Yes.
Okay.
Paranoid Android was about Marvin, the paranoid robot from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is my favorite book. And so...
Okay.
And Marvin's record, because he's so bright, when he's not doing something, which is most of the time, he writes poetry and songs, and so I've rewritten Marvin's Ode as part of my poem for those who are Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy freaks. Is that acceptable?
All right. That's extremely acceptable, except I'm going to bump you down one, too, because I'm going to have Sky go first before you, if that's okay.
Perfect. You can do that.
All right. Sky goes to bed at 11. And I'm just
no, do it.
All right. Guy, I'm ready for you.
I'll put down. It's a quickie, so it won't even be that long.
All right.
This is along the lines of paranoia, of why we kind of keep sharing more of ourselves than we want to. Complimenting her complexion. Beside our phone. When she asks questions, eyes fixate on a mite of dust that must be monopolizing the air. Like great flying spiders, threads that I cannot seem to catch. The avoidance makes me think she tosses, offers out, careless of the return. But when I think again, I can see by the busyness of her hands, it is instead the fear my answer might not compliment her complexion. And the poem.
Wow. Brilliant work. Brilliant turnaround. You know, I think that we all have that kind of paranoia. Like, I look in my dog's eyes and say, why can't I be the person he sees? I mean, I don't think I'm good enough for the person to see the dog that looks at me. I always want to grow up and be the person my dog thinks I am. The avoidance makes me think she talks to the offers out, careless of the return. And when I think again, I can see by the busyness of her hand is instead the fear my answer might not compliment her. You shouldn't fear that. I don't like the great flying spider line. That's just, but, you know, that's a thing. Great metaphor, though. Beautiful work.
Thank you. Another person
that just makes me stop breathing sometimes. Raconteur, your thoughts? Oh, Raconteur had to dial back in. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
AP, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going with spiders myself, sweet. I like the spiders. I like the threads. I like how they monopolize the air. And I like how that they sort of centerpiece the poem. I'm all there. Sky, great metaphor.
Thank you.
And Linda, your thoughts?
Yeah, beautifully put. It's very simple, nice brevity. The imagery is kind of soft and flowing. I love the beginning of this because, you know, I have those moments of thinking about the mites on the desk that are monopolizing the air around me, and you can only see them when you turn a light on or the sun shines through the window, and it makes you think, you know, or not think, actually, is not paying attention is what I'm doing. And, but this speaks of like a not being there at the same time that you're there. And when she says, but when I think again, I can see by the busyness of her hands, it is instead the fear of my answer might not compliment her complexion. Very, very well put. It's very pretty, but it's deep, and I like that. It has a lot to say, and I thank you very much for sharing it.
Thank you.
Thank you, my darling.
And Infinite Destruction, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. This I really resonated with this, but then my thoughts kind of Aaron.
No, it's not me. I'm what apartment number?
Oh, okay, 24.
I think you're on the other side.
Sorry about that. What I was getting at, what it resonated with me, though, in a slight change of thought, was that I often kind of think about, like, you know, how I kind of feel paranoid about letting my feelings loose because I'm a man, and letting others know how I feel because I'm concerned that it might make me look like I'm weak. And I don't know a lot of men I know kind of resonate with that thought, like, you know, is it okay to cry? Is it okay to be broken? Men are often stated to have to, you know, really keep it together, to stand firm in the face of adversity. And I don't know. I'm sorry, I kind of went on a tangent, but that's what this poem made me feel.
That's a great comment. You have very short tangents.
It was the point of the piece. So, no, yeah, I mean, you're on point because it is about insecurity and one person kind of throwing stuff out there like they don't really care about the answer, but they really do. I think you nailed the intent of the emotion. Thank you.
Thank you for writing.
Okay. I'm trying to just run through here real quick. Let's go on to AP. AP, are you ready to read?
I am. Sweet. I am. The middle.
All right.
You'll roll with this. This is Paranoid Android. it's going to roll, and it goes a little bit like this. I am a paranoid android flailing about. Name's Marvin, and those doors, they really shout. No, my enthusiasm wanes along the way. It's because I'm too smart to guide, while rather stay. Mind larger than many planets bore, yet here I am worried what's in this store. Millions of years I wait for planets they ask, meaning I would tell them, still in glaciers bask. The diodes down my left side shred, even though for others it's time for bed. I know when I rest my head, nights are for waking. And this is the harvest I reap of poems and songs, seldom sleep. And while they are sad and deep, nights, they are for waking. Thinking of where else I could be with ungrateful half-wits for a century. Mind wasted on towels and new highways while inside screams, shut me down, I pray. End poem.
Oh. That's sad. But it's sad.
Empathy
we all
for the
shut down those. I know. I'm just, it kind of makes me sad, though. Because, you know, are we all going to be eventually just sad, shut down, because there are no more songs to sing or no more poets to write or anybody listening to poets? One of my favorite quotes, and I don't know who said it, but it kind of fits this, is the world went to hell when people started listening to politicians and not poets. And I don't know why that just popped up in here, but that's what this means to me, is, you know, the world's going to hell because we listen to politicians and not poets. I just, that's how this sums up for me right now. I would tell them to still in the glaciers that. Oh, God, this is beautiful. And it's powerful because it has such a message and, you know, because I'm too smart to guide while rather stay. I rest my head, nights of awakening. This is the harvest I reap of poems and songs, felt and sleep. And while they are sad and deep, nights they are for waking. This is really, really good. Well, brilliant, brilliant work as always, AP. Rackentory, your thoughts on this one?
He's a paranoid android, all right. I like the content of this too. I like that you harken back to the Hitchhiker's Guide a little bit, but you gave it your own spin. And you know, now I got the quote that Sweepy just threw out there about listening to politicians over poets. I enjoyed your piece, AP. I thought it was great.
Thank you. Thanks, Rhett.
Yeah. And Linda, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, AP always has a way of saying things. Are you talking about the Marvin that has the Roman helmet on?
No, that's the one from Warner Brothers.
Right, that's what I was thinking at first. Okay.
Yes, no.
So I'm off there, but the idea is pretty much the same. I mean, he's out there in the galaxy or in the not the Earth, but the what's the word I'm looking for? I guess galaxy would be the right thing. It encompasses all. And the way you tell him is he's extremely intelligent and you know, I'm having a tough one with this one. He's just above and beyond all that's here and there.
Yeah.
And
omnipotent.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with this one. It's just like he's above and beyond all that's there, and he's alone. And that's what Sweet says is sad. And I think that you wrote this well. The imagery is awesome. And I like the ending of it a lot for thinking of where else I could be with ungrateful half-wits for a century, mine wasted on towels and new highways, while inside screams shut me down, I pray. That is so very sad for an android. But thank you for sharing this, AP. I'm sorry I got so lost on it.
No, not at all. Thank you.
Well, it's just another highway to hell anyway, Linda. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's
right.
No. Oh. And Infinite Destructions, you want to comment on this poem and then read yours?
Yes, indeed. AP, man, you always have this way of saying things in ways I would never even think, but I don't know enough about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy except the answer is 42. That's all I know because I have friends who talked about it before. But anyway, the main thing that I'm kind of catching from this is an android who is designed to be a perfect fit for the tasks that he should do and should be able to do, but he's afraid that he'll fail, and in doing so, as a robot who has failed to complete his task, would be scrapped, and you know, would be no more. And so, going from that, it's like, hey, should I really actually go do what I'm supposed to? If I don't go try to do it, then I can't fail.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's
no.
What I'm getting.
No, that's cool. Yep, absolutely.
Infinite, do you have a link to your poem?
I do. You want me to just post it on the board?
Yep, not a problem.
Okay.
And
please,
I'm going to depart left, but
okay.
Thank you for letting me come in with my sort of quirky little entry there. So thank you.
I like quirky. Not a problem. If you haven't had a chance, by the way, everybody, you should have a happy birthday, please.
Ah, yes, I will.
Hey, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Okie doke, we'll do.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Okie doke.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by.
Talk soon.
Thank you.
Okay, cheers.
Talk soon. Bye-bye. Cheers. All right. Whenever you are on the board, you are ready to read, sir.
Okay, it's a little long-winded. This is titled Scarecrow. Trekking, his evening twilight at its last breath. Windy night wind made autumn leaves thin, standing at the edge of a strange wood, a cliff like cleft. A journey halted with thought due to fear of death. No path to tread, but through I must go with dread. I stepped with phobic, atrophic quivering in my legs, a simple crunch of broken twig, throbbing of pulse had sped. Aroma of rotted wood, my subsurface to let, not letting my foot, dawning upon me, this was now a destitute memorial.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
You're cutting in and out.
Yeah.
Okay, coming upon a twisted, tattered thicket of vine and thorn, doing my best not to rest, I pierced the ominous veil, almost through, beating, heart still racing, clothing torn, My arm was caught like a gauntlet of vines I'd always worn. Baffling but barely a need for panic, I resisted, to no avail, failing to be freed, pernicious foliage. Gut-wrenching, a moment later, I stumbled, body twisted. The matter of trouble had barely begun, the vines persisted. Holding onto my wrist, making my skin look tanned, vines wrapped around with a peculiar grip. Horror sailed, the vines looked just like a hand. Fear? I thought I knew, till upon him did my eyes land. Chaotic weaving of hay, vine, and mud, there he appeared. Escape, run, get away, but I could not move. Stricken, time-ticking, I should have circumvented, I feared. Man or monster, mechanic, its mouth evilly snooped. I lunged a banshee wheel, followed by a kick. Trembling backwards, I rose to run, I prayed, to whomever would ever help my soul come quick. Into the darkness I sprinted until tripped by a trivial stick. Before regaining composure to sprint for heaven's sake, a searing sensation traced diagonally across my mind. Reaching back was an unforgiving mistake. Around my arm, its haunting fingers began to rake. Pulling in desperation with a vicious, violent pattern, through torture for every move created a tearing incision. Its eyes I finally saw, the coldest, cold-colored caverns, its grin more devilish than a cursed jack-o'-lantern. With tremendous strength, I was finally freed, retreating, intensely fleeing, my thoughts repeating, run, run faster than the most revered racing steed. But wait, is that light? Oh, yes, indeed. One last skeleton on my shoulder. Not stopping, got across an old gate. Now's dawn and no... That's right. One last look back I took before I would... I felt... Be point, do not go. And at the edge of the woods stood a lifeless scarecrow.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Talk about, you said it's not nothing about paranoia, but it's everything about paranoia. So who's the lifeless scarecrow? The former owner of the house? I just want to know.
Well, the scarecrow is intended to, I said the scarecrow is intended to protect the crop from invasion. And so you kind of walked in on a crop that probably has, for whatever reason, the scarecrow was still trying to do his job.
Exactly. I think this is brilliant, and I am such a big fan of your work. Between your imagery and your incredible attention to detail, I rave about your work all the time. So it's a privilege to actually talk to you and have you on my show. You have such a way with your loquacious lexicon, excuse me. You put action into your stories. You can, when you read, you're not only in the story, but your stories have a fluidity. So you can smell where you're at, you can feel where you're at, and I can literally feel the hay scratching my back, and I can smell the mud, and I can almost taste the sensation of, you know, the entire. Like as you're running, you know, you can, like, dock smacking across my skin and really feel this closing in around me, because I've been in cornfields and I've been all around that, and I know what it's like. And when you say a banshee whale, oh, I know a banshee whale. I've been in that world, and so pulling in desperation, a vicious, violent pattern, through torture, every move created a tearing incision. That is something that you can actually hear. So not only am I tasting it and feeling it and hearing it, there's every sensation put through here in fluid motion as you're reading it. So it's an experience that is felt in just about every poem that I've read of yours. And I just got to tell you, you're just such a superb storyteller. And there's Linda is on this call too, and she is one of my favorite of all faves storyteller poems, and you're right up there with her, and this is just another fine story. Linda doesn't write in the dark realm. She writes poems in the story realm that I reach my grandchild. These would be ones I would read well after he's 7 or 10. Right now he's only 5. But brilliant, 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 sir. I really, really enjoy your work.
Thank you. I've never received such an awesome comment. I'm so glad that and thrilled to know that you love my work so much. I don't know. I just feel like I've got to put, if I'm going to do a poetic story, poetry is about being able to feel, see, hear, smell, you know, all of the senses, all of the description that you can give in poetry can be utilized in that endeavor to tell that story. Just what I try to do every time I write a story that's poetic.
Well, absolutely. And I would beg for you to stick around because Linda's going to read next. And she is a master at that. Linda's one of the best poets as in rhyme and imagery and pulling that all together. And you two are very symbiotic in that nature. So I'm actually going to ask her next. Linda, what did you think of this story?
It was so cool. You know, our imaginations can whip up such intense imagery in our brains when, like, walking alone in the woods or down a cold, quiet street at night, a cat's, you know, meowing can become a woman screaming, whatever. But you have captured that in the story form that is amazing. I just love how you saved the punchline for the end, which is something I like to do, instead of opening with the scarecrow as you closed with it, which is perfect, perfect storytelling writing. And the way your imagery goes in this, it's clear and it's strong and it's very vivid. And it tells a story in its own. I mean, I could see it as well as hear you read. I could see the story unravel in front of my face. But you've done such an excellent job here I'm a little jealous here. You've wound this tale very well. Thank you for sharing it, my darling.
Go ahead.
What can I say? Like the scarecrow, you're outstanding in your field.
Master of fun.
But,
that was brilliant.
I'm sorry,
I didn't mean to cut you off. Let's see where we're at now. Okay. Linda, I'm going to throw you up there. Okay.
All righty.
Let me see. Yeah, huge. And Linda, I'm sorry, you probably write fabulously dark poems. It's just I associate you with very lovely, happy.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Kind of poems. I can write dark,
but I usually write.
You're my happy little, you know. And probably tonight's poem is probably darker than normal, and I'm just like, oh,
oh
you
I,
know. You write such beautiful
I have
poems
a new
for my grandson
for your
all the
grandson.
Time. Oh, good. All right. All right, here we go.
There we go.
There you go. Linda, you are on the board.
And this was very easy to write because it's an absolute true story. It's called Paranoia or Christoph's Pain. Now you see the shadows dancing on the walls, and through the glass the faceless shapes are spying. I tell you not to be afraid, there's nothing there at all. You look at me and tell me that I'm lying. You peek behind the curtains to see who's hiding out. I tell you that it's just the wind you hear. But paranoia holds you tight and fills your mind with doubt, so that now your thoughts are really what you fear. You swear that in the closet there are bad men that have come to break your will and beat you till you scream. I really have to tell you just how crazy you've become. And this is really nothing like it seems. There's no one in the bathroom trying to kill you. No cameras or devices hidden here. Come down for just a moment and clear your head a bit, and you'll see there's nothing here to fear. You ask me if I'm FBI or undercover cop, or have I come to steal your rock away? You light your pipe and take a hit, not caring of the fact that your life is now in stages of decay. I tried to help you see the truth, but all of it's in vain. There's nothing that I can say or do. The poison that you take each day has melted down your brain so that you don't know what's what or who is who. I'm sorry that I just can't watch you kill yourself like this as you search the floor to find another load. It's killing me to feel your pain and helpless as I watch, so it's time I need to get on down the road. So goodbye, my love. I'm sorry that my strength is not enough. Her grip is just much tighter than I thought. I pray for you that you shall find the peace you so deserve, the peace you so deserve but never got. Now it's been so many years, I heard you died back when, and sometimes I really feel like I'm to blame. So today I wrote this down for him in honor of his life, and I hope you'll all remember Christoph's Pain in poem.
Oh, my sweet, sweet Linda. Oh, you have a heart of gold. A heart so big, I swear to God. I think you would take the pain of the world on. And if somehow you would take the pain of the world away, you would. You have a heart that big.
Right. Right.
It's just beautiful. Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about you, but I know I don't know a whole lot about you, but I know a little bit about you. And I know a little bit about you through your poetry and a few conversations here with you.
Thank you, sweet.
But you write with so much emotion. And so raw and so covered in your own blood of pain, your own blood. It's like you can almost taste the acidity of that darkness. And yet you smile like there's always going to be something to smile about. And I know people, even myself, I haven't been through one-tenth of what you've been through. And I tend to sometimes still bite at the bitterness. And then I talk to you and I feel ashamed of myself. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you for that. I really do.
Thank you, my darling.
To be ashamed of the things that we have to go through. We should remember life as a gift, because some people just don't understand it. If something broke, they didn't do it to themselves, it broke.
Right.
And they didn't have the ability to fix it. And you always, regardless what, get up and smile. And remember tomorrow is just going to be fun. And it may thunder and it may rain and you may end the day with mud between your feet. But tomorrow you're going to figure out how to wash it off. And I see that in you every time I talk to you, every time I read your poetry. Yep, we're all going to get muddy. We're all going to get shit between our toes. And someday it may even hit a few days, but it'll wash off. I don't know how you do it.
Good point.
You are the inspiration of my life. I just definitely adore you.
All right. Thank you, sweetheart.
Great work. You're very welcome. Back into your thoughts.
My thoughts are all muddled. The poem, trying to communicate with someone that almost feels like that they're, you're walking on eggshells because you don't want to trigger them. They're not understanding what you're saying. Mm-hmm. They're taking it to different levels. It's really hard to the point that, you know, like you say, you felt like you had to walk away. And then to hear the end result and to find out that they passed away, you know, around that same time, you know, you can't help but want to blame yourself. And even that's a kind of paranoia, too. It's like, did I have something to do with it? You know, any time you talk about, you know, your emotions or even expressing yourself, like Destruction was saying earlier, you know, that there's always, at least in my mind, there's always a fear of influencing the other person. You know, I want to know what you really think. I don't want to influence that, so I don't want you to know what's going on in my head. So the guardedness around something like that, when someone, there is an outcome based on interact that you that you know you could put yourself and say, you know, well, I could have been the cause of that, you know, and you'll never know, and you know you'll torture yourself to death over something like that. So that's really a very painful piece that you constructed.
Right. Thank you, Rack.
Yeah.
Isn't it Destruction, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I definitely could see why Sweet adores this. So I'll say this much. I had a best friend of mine who fell prey to addiction, and I didn't even ever know it. Is the hardest part to swallow. I talked to him off and on. We were states apart, so it's kind of, we didn't get to see each other every day, but I talked to him off and on, and then 2 days before Christmas, about 3 years ago, I got news that he had OD'd on heroin. And it was just, it was gut-wrenching. And it's heartbreaking for me because, I mean, that the hardest pill to swallow, other than just the fact that I'd never get to speak to him again, is that I never knew he had the problem. I never knew that was something he was dealing with, type of addiction. And had I known, I would have tried to move, you know, all of hell and creation to try to, you know, to save him if I could from it. And it just kind of hurts not knowing, you know, and then finding out that, hey, he did have this kind of problem you didn't know about, but, and it already gone too far. This reminded me of it, of that situation. I can only imagine what it is to, you know, see and, you know, have to endure someone going through this, someone you love, and it doesn't be said, it doesn't seem to be anything that you can do about it. No matter how much you'd like to, there's no change happening. And I imagine that's just as bad in its own way, if not worse. But a beautiful piece, a beautiful expression of a great story, and definitely excellent mechanics, rhyming, and imagery, word choice. It just an all-around great piece, and it's a pleasure to have read it as you read it to us. And again, a pleasure to meet you again.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. I have.
That was awesome.
937 in. I have 937 in my studio. Say hello.
Hey. Hello, Miss Sweet.
Oh, it's Red.
How you doing tonight?
I'm so sorry. I'm good. I don't know why I didn't recognize that number. It's my silky.
Oh, no, you're all good.
Hello, guys.
All good.
I felt,
hey, hey.
How sad of me.
My apologies if I have a lot of noise or having some sort of issue in the store where I'm at. And I keep yelling on the speaker all of a sudden.
Oh, my goodness. I
hey, how's everyone
I
doing?
Not.
And, if I may, I missed Liquid Damage's read, but it sounded like it was very emotional, and I've been reading it over, and I actually just finished it right before you picked me up. And dang, yeah, this is this was pretty heart wrenching and an addiction piece. And I've never, I mean, way back in my early 20s and my late teens, I was kind of a drug addict for a while, so it kind of, I get this, meth wasn't ever my thing, but I met a couple methods, and they could get like this. I've seen a couple, and I went somewhere, and one guy thought someone stole his stash, and he was going nuts. It turned out he hid it under the mattress and forgot. I think it was kind of scary for a minute, man. So he found it, so I totally get that, and yeah, this is very, like at first when you start the first half of the poem, it kind of, I was thinking about mental illness, and then when you got into him smoking rock, which I'm guessing you mean meth, because I know meth can really make people crazy, and this is just, yeah, wow, very painful, very emotional, and very hard-hitting piece.
Thanks, Silk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Yeah, I just want to let you know that it's been a pleasure. Thank y'all for having me, and wonderful reads and writes. Thank y'all. Y'all have a great night.
Yeah,
thank you for
night,
coming.
Too.
It was really, really great having you. Have a good night, sir.
Thank y'all. Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right, I'm going to throw Denny up on the board, and if everybody listens to first soundtrack. This is another great poet that's up and coming here with us.
Suburb life to a longing bed. Paranoia is getting the best of me. I feel them watching me. But see me, do they? The real me. The one that wants to scream. Not known by my own family. My own team. Where do I belong with this feeling? This feeling of hopelessness, helplessness, self-hate, self-doubt, internal loneliness, craziness, madness, and inferiority. Makes it hard to breathe and think clearly. I crave the capability to live bravely. Is all I am and all I have not enough? I give fearlessly and selflessly when able. Maybe my life is still one big fable. Feeling like nothing, like a no one to most. Needed, but used by the ones I trust most. Not wanted, truly wanted for me, breaks me. Feeling used and unwanted in my head, when loved ones really love me, chokes me. So torn in what to do, whether to stay here with you, or leave this world without you. To live cowardly or die immorally. Continue to be brave or dig my own grave. Will it really be hard for them? Hardly. They will move on finally to be happy and free. Free from my sorrows and drama. Free from me feeling like a bad wife and mama. End poem.
Mm. You know, I... This breaks my heart. It just tears me apart. You know, I have been in this place, my own pain. I think this poem can be relatable to so many women out there that are just in places where they're felt like they're invisible and they can't move and everything they do may be wrong. They feel like it's wrong, like they can't. If they say right, somebody's going to tell them it's left. If they say black, somebody's going to tell them it's white or it's gray, or that nothing is good enough no matter what. Between, you know, mother-in-laws or father-in-laws or people that have tried to help them, but, you know, it's just not good enough no matter what, either because of their own internal clock or record that says, no, you're not good enough. You know, you don't think you've got the baby's clothes clean right. You know, the house isn't right. The job isn't good enough. You're never going to be it. And there's so much pressure. You sometimes get that. Not the people that are around you. It's you. You do it to yourself. And then the more the person tries to help you, you just find that more critical. Oh, he's got to help me because I'm not good enough. He's got to help me because I'm stupid. Or she's got to help me because I'm not smart enough to do it on my own. And sometimes we do that to ourselves. And we are incapable of accepting love because we have no self-love. So, it's really, really a tough circle to be in. And I just, you know, and we always have to remember, because I get this a lot, I write a lot of crazy poems and I write a lot of relationship poems. And people are like, oh, I'm so sorry you're in that relationship. And I'm like, I also write about mass murdering clowns. And I'm not a mass murderer of clowns. So poets write subjects, and it's not always about what they're in. So sometimes when we comment on people's poems, try to remember that poets write on subjects, not always themselves. Because I'm quite certain that Wayne does not barbecue small children.
Unless it's about finding underwear.
unless it's about finding underwear. But, I mean, it's just beautifully written and, you know, from the heart, and it's got depth and it's got feeling. And, you know, it's great. And it says she listened to Disturbed Life on Longing and Death, and she wrote this poem. So I thought it was well done, and I feel there are many women that are in this situation. And as a poet, I think she took those words and really brought them home. So wonderfully written, Jenny. I'm really becoming a big fan of your work. You have that way of bringing out these true moments of worthlessness and invisibility and the tragedy that we have for many, many women who are just unsure and lack confidence internally. So it magnifies, you know, outward, no matter what situation you're in, because confidence is the hardest thing to gain. What do you think there, Sophie?
Yeah, this really hit hard, and yeah, then to me, I have not been blessed enough to have kids yet, but I have been very close to my brother since he's had his, and they're like 7 and 8 now, and I've seen them, they're kind of little monsters, and how bad I treated my mom growing up sometimes. I'm kind of surprised she didn't like drown me in the bathtub sometimes, but I can see that. Yeah, being a parent is just could be a really hard, mentally trying, just thankless job at times, and this really struck home to me, or it really struck hard to me. I just I could really see that, especially in that last couple lines, and I'm sure that those thoughts creep in, and I guess most people I know are great parents, or I'd say everyone pretty much I know is a parent's a great parent, although I guess you can't really see that from the out or inside all the time, but no, I thought this was a very impactful poem, and Jenny writes very emotional, great writes so far that every poem of hers I've read or listened to. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. And Linda, your thoughts?
Yeah, boy, this brings back a lot of hard memories that I lived through. And that I find is what a great poet does is makes you live the poem, and she's done that here. It's very soft and poignant, but horrifically sad. although I never had the thought to kill myself, I did have to make the choice of leaving my children with my mother, which was like death, because my mother just filled their heads with lies and untruths that made it hard for me to gain back their respect. And it's hard when you're a mom and you're going through thoughts of feeling less than and that everybody's out to get you. I lived with my mother, or we lived together in a house we both rented, and she was the ruler of the roost and made the rules and everything. And I was of age, you know, I was in my 20s, and I didn't want to feel that way, you know, of her constantly telling me I was messing up or not seeing the good things that I was doing, like going to school. It's just hard. And when you get to that point in your head that things are so bad that here that, you know, should she die or should she go on and live like a coward? Well, living is not being a coward at all. Living is being a hero. You should always remember that. But I think she did a really nice job at portraying the paranoia that goes on. And this can happen to a healthy mind, you know, not one that's paranoia, schizophrenic, or drug-related. It can happen to a fairly healthy mind, the feelings of less than and you know, where she says feeling like nothing, like no one to most, needed but used by the ones I trust most. Not wanted, truly wanted for me, breaks me, feeling used and unwanted in my head. When loved ones really love me, chokes me. She really wrote this well. Thank you, Jenny. You're just a fabulous writer, and everything I read from you is becoming just a really, really favorite of mine. So thank you for sharing this, Jenny.
And back to your thoughts.
Yeah, I want to talk about what you touched on briefly too, when you mentioned about, you know, writers writing about things like, you know, conjecture and supposition and, you know, exploring the thought, you know, because it's not necessarily something you went through, but your mind tends to go there anyway. And that, you know, that's not necessarily, you know, based on anything real or, you know, it's just that it's you know, I guess extending the idea a little bit. And that tends to lead to, what was that?
Jenny wrote on a board, this is something that she did experience. And she did. It was a cathartic call for her. So, you know, I'm sorry. You know, you definitely, that emotion and that rawness is in there. But I want you to go ahead and finish your thought,
I was actually going to lead into that because they're actually, I think it's tied together, the actual experience of it. Because the whole idea behind the feelings are, you know, an expression I throw around a lot is feelings aren't facts, but, you know, sometimes something will make you feel that way and your mind can't help but go there. And you know, I think that's what's healthy, is to explore that thought and to think about, you know, what might happen, or, you know, to as long as you're not actually going out and doing it. Like you said, you know, you're not murdering clowns and things like that. But, you know, the idea of it sometimes will put a smile on your face, right? You know, it's like someone walks up to you and says something stupid and you just want to throat punch them. It's like, you know, well, I'm not going to do it, but the thought of it is like, you know, that's going to make me smile. So it's like, you know, okay, I can relate to that, you know? And I think it's natural to, for your mind to go there, and the whole idea of a civilized society is not acting on it. It having that thought isn't what makes it evil. It's your actions that do it. So for me, bleeding it out on the page, the more the pain you find in what I write, the better I am, because that means I'm not carrying it. I spit it out and it's gone and it's there. So to me, that's a little bit about what you're talking about. And I'm not entirely surprised that she went through it, in the sense that we tend to write about what we've lived, and sometimes there's a little poetic exaggeration or whatever, but for the most part, the feelings are still within us, and I think that's what makes a good write, and it makes it very relatable. It's a tough situation. The other thing that you touched on, it reminded me of that there's a line in the song by the band was called The Pretty Reckless, and the song is called Makes Me Want to Die. And she talks about I hate looking in your eyes because I know I'll never measure up. And that makes me want to die. That encompasses, I think, what she's talking about. And again, that goes back to what I was saying about, how your feelings can put you in that place. It's like you don't know why you feel that way. Maybe it was something that the person said. It's just, you start to believe it if you hear it enough. And that really, impacts your overall outlook on things. And it's really very emotional and very tough to deal with. So, it's a beautifully relatable piece, but it's also a very painful piece, Jenny. I enjoyed it.
Nice comment. Really liked it. All right. Kind of a deep show tonight. Right.
Paranoia is not a shallow subject.
Nah, not at all. Nothing like, hey, I think he might be trying to look at my panties while I'm on the swing set. Nothing like, that's what I thought we'd be getting. But no, not you guys. You always bring it, don't you? Well, I love y'all. Oh, good Lord. Silk, my man, you are my poem.
Hey.
Do you want me to read now? Yeah, something like that.
Okay, I didn't go quite as deep as everybody else. I actually went a little bit dark and horror, I guess.
Oh, well, we've had dark and horror tonight too, so come on.
I did think I had a good title at least. But here we go. For once, title's usually the hard part. This one just came to me. Here we go. A Dance of Demonic Ends.
Is it on the board?
Yeah, I just posted it.
Oh, did you? Okay, because I'm going to put it on the board. Sorry, there, you did it for me, so thank you. Never mind. Go ahead, sorry.
Okay, let me... actually messed up my title there. I didn't notice, and I didn't proofread it earlier because I was between classes and just wrote it real quick. But here we go. Dance of Demonic Ends. Leaves whisper conspiracies, spreading like cancerous gossip from branch to branch, tree to tree. They rob my steps of moonlight, so I must stumble over the branches that creep upon my path. Their eyes burn my flesh, skin crawling the hunger of their teeth, cringing away from their bony fingers, snatching at my clothes. Heartbeats knocking against my ribcage like the damned hammering their fists against the gates of hell when the demons begin to feast. And I run, tilt into the night, deeper into the gaping maw of this malevolent forest, terrified to stop, terrified to keep going, flash frozen in fear by thunderstorm thoughts pouring razor-sharp hail, whipped into a whirling frenzy by the maelstrom of my paranoia till panic shreds the halls of my sanity. Only knowing behind me stalks a wooden devil, and anything could lie in wait within the gullet of this clutching beast to rip my flesh, both keen to dine upon the marrow of my bones. in peace.
Wow. Powerful. Dark imagery. Heartbeats knocking against my ribcage like the dam hammering the fist against the gates of hell when the demons begin to speak. And I run full tilt into the night, deeper into the gaping maw of this malignant force. Terrified to stop, terrified to keep going. Flash frozen in fear. Ugh. What are you running from? I don't know what you're running from.
Well, it was kind of like going for the... Actually, what's funny, what's actually kind of halfway inspired this was a scene in Don Quixote when they got stuck in the dark and Pancho was freaking out, thinking this noise they were hearing was some great beast or a demon. And it actually just turned out to be, what was it? It was those felling hammers or something of where they were weaving fabric or something. It was like pitch black. Anybody that thought it was like some horrid monster in the dark. So that's kind of what inspired it a little bit. I don't know if you were a Don Quixote, but it was one of my favorite parts. They were just freaking out, thinking there was this great demon out there, and it just turned out to be a loom or something that kept just bouncing or hitting something, and it just sounded, I guess, horrible.
And it's nothing. Just this, like a nothing. The wind knocking out a door or a shadow, and sometimes those shadows make you just run and run.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they are.
Getting to your mind can make demons out of, you know, out of nothing. You love
it. That's crazy.
You're talking about me, aren't you?
Excellent piece. Well, yeah, we do, but we do it in sign language, so you can't see it.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Well, actually, we're always talking about you. Rax is on the board, but you can't read. But anyway. I know he has voice to text. He can read everything we write about you. Oh, wow. I really like this. Some great lines. Both keen to dine upon the gnarl of my bones. I love this. This is great. I love the energy in it, the darkness in it, and just I love the whole heartbeat against the rib cage, and you just keep going, and eventually all you're fighting or the monsters that's scaring you is the heart of you, the race of your own heartbeat, because that's all you hear. You hear it in your ears, and your whole body feels it, and you don't know why you're running. You're just afraid of that heartbeat. But to me, that's what it sounds like. Okay, maybe that's my new heartbeat sound, but it's still terrifying. That's excellent. The sound of a cow in my chest is terrifying. Absolutely.
Cows can run when they want to, though, so you have that going.
Yeah, you don't ever want to be a stampede. You don't want to be in a stampede
of
cows. And that picture is just...
I was out walking once. And there was a cow in the field, and I just stopped. I was kind of mooing at him, and he gave me this look like he just did not like it. I was like, oh, I better get out of here, because he looked like he was a little mad at me. So,
Hey, Linda, why do cows wear bells?
What's that?
Why do cows wear bells around their necks?
Because they have any horns.
No, because their horns don't work.
Oh,
there we go.
Okay. Well, cows don't have horns, do they? I thought only bulls had horns.
No.
Yeah,
Texas longhorns are cows. Even though they'll tell you.
Yeah,
some
me
cows.
And my brother used to stampede the cows when we were young. It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
They'd get in our drinking water above our pump in the creek. And so we'd go and chase them out, and it was fun.
Sounds like fun. All right. Excellent work. Love it. Linda, your thoughts on Sophie's poem?
What's that?
Your thoughts on
Sophie's
poem.
Uh-oh, what happened? I still didn't hear what you said.
What were your thoughts on silk foam?
Oh. I thought it was deep and scary. And, you know, what's that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the aliens?
Predator.
You know the sound that the Predator makes? You know that sound?
That
the Predator...
Half roar,
okay.
Half clicking. So,
in the forest, when you're walking and the wind blows, it blows the trees that have fallen and got caught by upright trees. The wind blows them and they rub against the other tree and make that sound. And it's very, very creepy. So when you're in the forest and you're walking and the wind comes up and you hear that sound and your mind starts wondering what's there behind that tree and, you know, what's going to get me, and you start running, that's what this reminded me of. The paranoia that starts in your mind about what's out there is like strong. And okay. This part, and I run full tilt into the night, deeper into the gaping maw of this malevolent forest. That's what it's like. Terrified to stop, terrified to keep going, flesh frozen in fear by thunderstorm thoughts pouring razor sharp hail. That's what it's like. And I like the descriptiveness of this poem. The imagery was brilliant, but his describing the way he saw that forest, what was coming after him, the ants, the demonic ants, is brilliant. I think you did a great job, Silk, as always. Thank you for sharing this.
Yeah, thank you, Linda.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I thought you were brilliant. Keep losing rack. Keep losing rack. He's back again.
No, I didn't disappear. I thought this was excellent, Silk. You made me think of the moment, the adrenaline in the moment. It started off kind of on a slight tangent, you know, when a dog is having that leg twitch in his dream, and then, you know, the idea of, you know, the running full tilt and you know, your system just ramping up and you know, your pulse racing and everything just elevating. You captured all of that in the fear and shadows of the paranoia of, you know, what's going on and how that affects your system, and how it physically affects you, or how it can physically affect you, I guess you want, I want to say. But yeah, you did a fantastic job illustrating that, and I thought it was a great piece.
Well, thank you, Rick and Tor. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Me too. All right, guys. I believe I'm 100% correct, and it normally doesn't happen. I have to double check like 5 or 6 times before that's true. We may be done here. This is a heck of a show. I had a really good time. So totally such a good time.
Yeah, nice.
Anybody
show.
Anybody else got any?
You did a great job.
Yeah. Well, and Joe, what I caught there, I meant to show up a little earlier, but I crossed time zones today, and it kind of threw off my timing.
I know, it always happens when, you know, crossing time zones and craziness going on, and, well, I had a really good time tonight, you guys.
AP
it was
calls
a lot of fun. AP calls
thank
me tomorrow.
Thank you for having
yeah.
me. Your show was great. I enjoyed myself.
I enjoyed you immensely. So, yeah, thank you, everybody, I mean, what a great show. I had Linda, I had Rack, I had Infinite Destruction, which the brand new guest for me first time, which was fabulous. I had AP, I had Silky Baby, I had, who else did I have? That's it. Yeah, I'm good.
Hey, is it okay if I push my show?
Please do. I was just going to shout out happy birthday to Deb, and then I was going to say, who has shows coming up? That was my next question.
It's coming up quick, too. It's coming up on the 9th, June 9th at 10 p.m. Eastern. And then I have another one on the 16th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Come on by. I tell some stupid jokes. Carmine tells some stupid jokes. And we have good poetry. And we all have a lot of fun. So come on by.
Excellent. Rack, you got any shows coming up?
Yeah, I think it's this Tuesday. The 30th is and I'm gonna back it up to 10 o'clock like you do so that Sky can call. the people that come in and out of your life, you know, for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. You know, so it's funny how, you know, you can get to know someone or not. And, you know, they spend however long they do, but they touch you in some way or another. So, you know, and anyone that's, you know, been in your life, whether it was for a moment or for, you know, an entire lifetime, that's kind of what the thought is. A season, a reason, a lifetime.
Interesting. I like that thought process. Yeah. And I also want to thank Kiwi on the board, I want to thank Jenny on the board, and everybody else that was out there on that board that paid attention, listened, commented, talked to themselves, yelled at us through the radio, because I know I do that sometimes when I'm listening to my blog. What do you talk about? You know, things like that. Didn't listen to me as I didn't talk, which is my rambling, and all of the other things that I do, him-haw, say things I'm not supposed to say, say things I didn't say, or didn't say I should have said, however that phonics or crazy lines of words didn't work. I appreciate everyone from around the world that listens to this crazy little voice coming out of the mountains of Colorado here in the U.S. of A. And if I offended anyone with my snide remarks, sarcastic remarks, and I apologize to everyone that loves Al Gore and his fight for our environment because I believe in it too.
Man, bear, but pig.
I can't. If I cannot make fun of our politicians, I should not be able to live in this country, and I do live in this country, so fight on, fight for our politicians, and fight for our rights. Love you all, and we will talk to you each and every one soon. Have a great 3-day weekend. If you drink, don't drive. If you drive, don't drink. All right. Have a wonderful one, guys. I will see you all and talk to you very soon. Don't forget to write for a Pretty Bird show on Monday. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Today's show is brought to you by the AP Taylor Foundation at Team of Voices. Love you.
Good night, sweet.
Love you.
Good night.
Yeah, good night, guys.
Good night.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Goodbye.